له النعمة وله الفضل وله الثناء الحسن صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. الله أسأل أن يوفقنا جميعا لما يحبه ويرضاه وأن يرزقنا النية الحسنة. نكمل اليوم إن شاء الله من حيث وصلنا أمس. إن شاء الله we'll continue today from where we stopped yesterday. قال الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه: ولا نرى السيف على أحد من أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا من وجب عليه السيف. The author, may Allah have mercy on him, said, we hold that the sword must not be used against any member of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except those who deserve it. فلا يجوز قتال المسلمين إلا أن يكون ذلك لسبب لأمر يجيز الشرع لأجله القتال. It is not permissible to fight Muslims or even one Muslim except if this is for a reason that the religion makes it permissible to have such fight for it. كما يقاتل الخليفة مانع الزكاة. Like how the caliph fights those who do not pay az-zakah. If they gather together, they agree not to pay it, and they prevent those appointed by the caliph to collect it by force from doing that, then the caliph is permitted to fight them. كما فعل أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. Just as Abu Bakr, may Allah have mercy on him, did. كذلك لو خرجت طائفة على الإمام. Likewise, if a group of people revolted against the caliph and pay attention, we are talking about the caliph, which does not exist nowadays. So when we say a caliph, we mean someone who acquired this position in a way, in the proper way, or in a way that, let me rephrase it, someone who acquired this position in a way that made him a lawful caliph, made him a caliph, really, not anyone who claims to be a caliph. We'll get back to this, inshallah. So if someone revolts against the caliph, if a group revolts against the caliph, also the caliph has the right to fight them. كما فعل سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه مع البغاة الذين خرجوا عليه. Like Imam Ali did with those who disobeyed him and revolted against him. سواء كان ذلك في وقعة الجمل أو وقعة صفين أو وقعة النهروان. Whether this was in the battle of Al-Jamal, in the battle of Siffin, or in the battle of Al-Nahrawan. وذلك لأن الله تبارك وتعالى قال وإن طائفتان من المؤمنين اقتتلوا فأصلحوا بينهما فإن بغت إحداهما على الأخرى فقاتلوا التي تبغي. It says because Allah ordered the caliph in Al-Quran to fight those who revolt against him. Like in the 9th verse of Surah Al-Hujurat, in which Allah says, فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي, which means fight the unjust group that is that revolted against the caliph. وَكَانَ عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ قَامَ بِهَذَا الْوَاجِبِ, أَوَّلَ خَلِيفَةَ قَامَ بِهَذَا الْوَاجِبِ. Imam Ali, may Allah raise his rank, was the first caliph to fulfill this obligation. فما قاله ابن تيمية من أن أو يدل على ما ذكرنا أيضا قول علي نفسه أمرت بقتال الناكثين والقاسطين والمارقين. What shows that is the saying of Ali himself. I was ordered, that is the Prophet ordered me, to fight an-nakithin, means those who betrayed the allegiance that they paid to him. And al-qasitin, those unrightful people who revolted against him. Wal-mariqin, which means al-khawarij, who judged any Muslim who commits an enormous sin as a blasphemer, and they considered that Ali committed an enormous sin, and thus they judged him as a blasphemer. هذا الحديث رواه النسائي عن علي رضي الله عنه. This hadith is narrated by النسائي from Ali, may Allah raise his rank. وهو الصحيح الإسناد, it is a صحيح حديث. من هنا يعني يكفي الآية وهذا الحديث لبيان فساد كلام ابن تيمية, حيث قال إن القتال مع علي لم يكن واجبا ولا مستحبا حتى. From this, or this aforementioned verse and hadith are enough to show the invalidity of the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah when he said fighting on the side of Ali against those who revolted against him. He said this fighting on the side of Ali, supporting Ali in this fight, was neither an obligation nor a recommended manner. So he claimed that it was not rewardable. فعلى زعمه علي كان يقاتل هكذا يلعب بدماء المسلمين. So according to him, to his statement, Ali was playing with the blood of the Muslims. According to him, Ali was conducting a fight which does not have any reward in it. Just like that. أعوذ بالله. قال هذا في كتابه الذي سماه منهاج السنة النبوية. He said that in his book which he called منهاج السنة النبوية. والله أعلم ما الذي حمله على هذا القول. Allah knows best. Why did he say that? هل هو بغضه لعلي؟ Is it because he hates Al-Imam Ali? Is this what drove him to say this statement? أو بلغ به الجهل في هذه المسألة إلى هذا الحضيض؟ Or he was so ignorant about this issue to this point. الله أعلم. في كل حال هذا باطل وفساد. In any case, this is totally invalid. وهو تكذيب للدين. And it is belying Al-Quran. Allah يقول فقاتلوا وهو يقول لا واجب ولا مستحب. Allah says فقاتلوا, which means fight. And Ibn Taymiyyah says it is neither an obligation nor a recommended matter. ومن هذا الكلام الذي قاله الطحاوي رحمة الله عليه يعرف فساد ما يفعله في ما فعله ويفعله حزب الإخوان ومن كان من أمثالهم في هذه الأيام من أتباع فكرة سيد قطب. From this statement of الطحاوي, it becomes clear the invalidity of the position of حزب الإخوان, those who are called the Muslim Brotherhood, and the people who adopted, who derived from them, from their organization, the different organizations that split and derived from their organization, all those who adopted the ideology of Sayyid Qutb. حيث إن سيد قطب يخالف الطحاوية مخالفة صريحة. Because the ideology of سيد قطب contradicts what الطحاوي copied from أهل السنة in an obvious way. سيد قطب يقول أي حاكم حكم بغير حكم الشرع ولو بمسألة واحدة فهو كافر. سيد قطب says any ruler who rules with other than the rules of the religion, even in one issue, is a blasphemer. بغض النظر عن السبب, regardless of the reason, he says he becomes a blasphemer. قال ومن يعينه هو أيضا كافر. لذلك قال الحكومة وأعضاء البرلمان الذين يكونون معه هم كفار. He said also those who help him are blasphemers. This is why he said all the members of his government, the parliament, members who are with him, etc., all of them are blasphemers. قال وكذلك رجال الجيش والشرطة. Likewise, he said, likewise, the army members and the police members. قال وكذلك الناس لأنهم لا يثورون ضده. He said, likewise, the people, the subjects of this ruler, because they do not revolt against him. ف فلذلك وصل إلى القول بأن كل الناس في زماننا كفار، وإن كفار أصليون أو مرتدون. This is why he got to the point to say that all the people who live nowadays are not believers, whether originally or apostate or apostates. قال حتى المؤذنون هم كفار. He said even the people who call al-azan are blasphemers. ولذلك قام أتباعه ويقومون، أتباع هذا الفكر قاموا ويقومون بوضع المتفجرات وقتل الناس، لا يبالون من قتل، عندهم هذا جهاد وتقرب إلى الله، لأنه هو قال يجب الثورة على الحاكم، ومراده بالثورة مثل هذا. Sayyid Qutb said it is an obligation to revolt against this ruler and those who are with him. Anyone who does not revolt against him is a blasphemer. This is why the few people, the people who follow this ideology, they put bombs, they kill whomever, they don't care who is killed by these explosions, etc. They did that in the past and they are still doing it nowadays, basically because this ideology of Sayyid Qutb. هو قال لهم كل الناس ما عداكم في هذه الأيام دماؤهم حلال وأموالهم حلال لكم. He told them all the people other than you, wherever they are nowadays, their blood, shedding their blood is lawful for you, taking their money is lawful for you. حتى النساء حتى الأطفال عندهم، لأنهم ما تركوا الرجال يعيشون بين الرجال، فعندهم لو قتلوهم لقتل الرجال ما فيه مشكلة. Even the women and the children, for them, if this is the way to kill the men, they don't care if they kill them also. They say, well, they are living amongst them, with them. Why don't they leave them? والعياذ بالله تعالى. هذا فكر خطير سبب ضررا كبيرا للمسلمين. This is a very dangerous ideology that caused a lot of harm to the Muslims. بسببها حصل ظلم كثير للمسلمين وظلم لغير المسلمين أيضا. Because of it, a lot of injustice occurred to the Muslims, and also injustice occurred with other than Muslims because of this ideology. فلا ينبغي التهاون في التحذير من ذلك. One should not be lazy in warning against this ideology. كما لا ينبغي التهاون في التحذير من عقيدة الوهابية. Likewise, one should not be lazy in warning against the belief of the Wahhabis. هاتان العقيدتان تلتقيان في نقطة. Especially that these two beliefs, the belief of Sayyid Qutb and those who follow him, the ideology of Sayyid Qutb and those who follow him, and the ideology of the Wahhabis and those who follow them, meet at one point. كلهم يعتبرون الفريقان يعتبران من عداهم كافرا حلال الدم. حلال الدم حلال المال. Both parties consider those who do not follow them to be blasphemers whom shedding their blood is lawful and taking their belongings is lawful. ولذلك اجتمعت العقيدتان في بعض الناس. And this is why in certain groups now the two ideologies are combined. Some people combined the two ideologies. وتولد منها عقيدة بعض الفرق التي لا تخفى عليكم. And as a result of this combination, the result of this combination was the ideology of some groups that are well known for you and active nowadays, some terrorist groups that are well active nowadays. May Allah protect us from their harm. قال رحمه الله ولا نرى الخروج على أئمتنا وولاة أمورنا وإن جابوا ولا ندعو عليهم ولا ننزع يدا من طاعتهم ونرى طاعتهم من طاعة الله عز وجل فريضة ما لم يأمروا بمعصية. The author said, we hold that we must not revolt against our caliphs and their appointed governors, even if they act unjustly. We do not supplicate against them or disobey them. Additionally, we deem obeying them as an obligation and obedience to Allah the Exalted, except when they enjoin an act of disobedience. We supplicate Allah. معنى ذلك أن الخليفة الذي انعقدت له البيعة الشرعية يحرم الخروج عليه. This means that once the caliph is appointed as a caliph in the proper way, in the correct way, then it is haram to revolt against him. That is, it is haram to try to put him out of his position of office with force, to force him to quit his office. وذلك لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كره من أميره شيئا فليصبر عليه فإنه ليس أحد من الناس خرج من السلطان شبرا فمات عليه إلا مات ميتة جاهلية. This is so because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من كره من أميره شيئا فليصبر عليه فإنه ليس أحد من الناس خرج من السلطان شبرا فمات عليه إلا مات ميتة جاهلية. معناه من رأى من الخليفة أو ممن عينه الخليفة ما يكره فليصبر ولا ينتقل إلى الثورة على الإمام. This means the one who witnesses that the caliph or one of the rulers appointed by the caliph is doing something bad, then let him be patient and not revolt against this caliph. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي يَخْرُجُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ وَلِيِّ الْأَمَرِ يَخْرُجُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ الْخَلِيفَةِ فَيَمُوتُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ تَكُونُ مِيتَتُهُ شَبِيهَةً بِمِيتَةِ الْجَاهِلِيِّينَ. Because the one who revolts against the caliph, who rejects the obedience to the caliph and dies on that situation, would be dying, his situation would be similar to those who died in the era of al-Jahiliyyah. وهذا الحديث صحيح رواه مسلم عن عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما. This is a صحيح hadith narrated by Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّمَا الْمُرَادُ بِالطَّاعَةِ هُنَا الْمُرَادُ بِطَاعَةِ الْخَلِيفَةِ هُنَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي غَيْرِ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. Of course, what is meant by obeying the caliph here means to obey him in what does not include disobeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَإِلَّا فَلَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. Otherwise, one should not obey anyone in disobedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He would be dying in a situation similar to those who died in al-Jahiliyyah before it was revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Which means, really what it means, he is committing an enormous sin by that. Naam, Fawzi. I don't know. It might be another narration. Please check the book of Muslim. So, to see. No, it does not change the meaning. No. Okay. MashaAllah. الطاعة معناها الطاعة للخليفة معناها الطاعة في غير المعصية. عبد الرحمن بن عبد رب الكعبة قال لعبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص: إن ابن عمك معاوية يأمرنا أن نأكل أموالنا فيما بيننا بالباطل وأن نقتل أنفسنا، فهل نطيعه في ذلك؟ A man called أن يأمرنا أن نأكل أموالنا فيما بيننا، يعني أموال غيرنا من المسلمين، وأن نقتل أنفسنا ليس معناه يعني يأمرنا بالانتحار، يأمرنا بقتل المسلمين ظلما، هذا معناه. A man called Abdul Rahman, the son of Abdul Rabbi al-Ka'ba, once addressed Abdullah, the son of Amr, the son of Al-As. He was from the same clan of Muawiyah. When Muawiyah was a ruler, this man addressed this companion who was from the same clan of Muawiyah. He told him, your cousin is asking us, ordering us to take money from the Muslims unrightfully and to kill Muslims unrightfully. Do we obey him? That is because he is the caliph now. Do we obey him? فأطرق عبد الله بن عمر مدة ثم قال له أطعه في طاعة الله وعصه في معصية الله. عبد الله بن عمر kept silent for a period of time. Then he told him, obey him in obedience to Allah and disobey him when he orders with disobedience to Allah تبارك وتعالى. وهذا الحديث صحيح رواه مسلم. This hadith is a صحيح hadith narrated by Muslim. فيعرف منه أنه لا طاعة للخليفة في المعاصي في الظلم. From this it is known that a caliph should not be obeyed when he orders with injustice, when he orders with disobedience. وإنما لا يثاب عليه لخلعه. لا يطاع لكن لا يساب عليه لخالعه. One does not obey him in doing injustice, but one does not revolt against him to put him out of office. This is how one acts in this situation. وقول وكما ترون قول الطحاوي هذا الذي نقله عن أهل السنة لا يوافق قول السيد قطب ومن تبعه. As it is clear, this statement of الطحاوي that he copied from أهل السنة does not comply with the saying of سيد قطب and those who followed him. وقوله رحمة الله عليه ولا ندعو عليهم معناه لا ندعو عليهم إذا ظلموا دعاء يؤدي إلى تحريك فتنة. And when he said we do not make dua against them, he meant by that we do not make a dua that causes tribulation against them. This is what he meant by that. The supplication that causes tribulation, we do not do it. Sometimes a person might make a dua in front of other people, which leads to instigate something bad. If he made this dua alone, it wouldn't do that. So what's meant here, we do not make a supplication against them that leads to tribulation. The supplication that leads to tribulation, we do not make it against them. وَلَا نَنْزِعُ يَدًا مِّن طَاعَتِهِمْ يُرِيدُ بِهِ أَن نُطِيعَهُمْ وَإِن كَانُوا ظَالِمِينَ فيما لا معصية فيه. And when he said we do not disobey them, he is emphasizing the meaning that even if they are unjust, we obey them in what does not include in what is not disobedience to Allah, in what is not injustice. لأن الخليفة له حق الطاعة على الناس. Because the caliph has the right to be obeyed. حتى لو أمر بأشياء ليست واجبة للمصلحة يجب أن يطاع فيها. even if he orders to do things that are not obligations originally. Because this is better for the Muslims, because this is where this is what benefits the Muslims. In this case, it is an obligation to obey him in these matters, even if these matters are not obligations originally. So At-Tahawi is saying, we do that. We do not leave out this issue, this type of obedience. قال رحمه الله وندعو لهم بالصلاح والمعافاة. The author said, we supplicate Allah to grant them righteousness and safety from disobeying him. معنى ذلك واضح، يعني ندعو الله أن يصلحهم وأن يعافيهم من أن يخالفوا أوامره. This is clear. We ask Allah to grant them a better situation, to make them obedient, and to leave out disobeying him. ونتبع السنة والجماعة. The author said, we follow the sunnah and jama'ah. أهل السنة والجماعة هم الذين يتبعون عقيدة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه وأتباع أصحابه وتبع الأتباع وهلم جرى إلى أيامنا. أهل السنة والجماعة are those who follow the creed of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is the creed of the companions, the followers of the companions, the followers of the followers, and so on up till nowadays. وإنما سموا أهل السنة لأنهم ثبتوا على طريقة رسول الله, على سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, أي طريقته. They are called أهل السنة because they are steadfast to the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which means in this context the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وسموا أهل الجماعة أيضا لأنهم لم يخرجوا عن جمهور الأمة في الاعتقاد الصحيح. And they are called also أهل الجماعة, أهل السنة والجماعة, لأنهم because they did not deviate from the majority of the Muslims on the matter of the creed. The creed is the proper creed, which is the creed of the majority of the Muslims. Jama'ah means the majority in this context. إنما الذي خرج عن العقيدة الصحيحة هم الشواذم الاثنتان والسبعون الذين أخبر عنهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Those who deviated from the creed of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the majority of the nation, rather these factions, the 72 factions about whom the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us. قال رحمه الله ونجتنب الشذوذ والخلاف والفرقة. the author said, and avoid, that is, we avoid, deviations, disagreement, and disunion. يريد بالشذوذ الخروج عن الإجماع في المسائل التي قام الإجماع أي إجماع المجتهدين عليها فنحن نجتنب الخروج عما أجمع عليه المجتهدون في أي عصر كان سواء كان إجماعهم في عصر الصحابة أو عصر التابعين أو أتباع التابعين أو من بعد ذلك. What the author meant by we avoid deviations, that is, we avoid to deviate from the consensus of the nation. Whichever case, all the mujtahids in one era had a consensus upon it, then we do not deviate from their consensus. Whether they had this consensus at the time of the companions or at the time of the followers of the companions or the followers of the followers or those who came after them. In any era, when the consensus takes place, we adhere to it and we do not deviate from it. And as we said, what is meant by the consensus of the mujtahids. ومراده بالخلاف والفرقة تأكيد المعنى الذي قاله قبل ذلك وهو مخالفة سبيل المؤمنين أي مخالفة إجماع الأمة. What he meant by avoiding disagreement and disunion or is to emphasize what he meant with the first word. That is, to avoid deviating from the consensus of the mujtahid. والمراد بأهل الاجتهاد بالمجتهدين أمثال مالك وأبي حنيفة والشافعي وأحمد. What is meant by the mujtahid are top scholars like Malik and Abu Hanifa, al-Shafi'i and Ahmad. May Allah raise the ranks. وقد ذكر الإمام الشافعي في كتابه الرسالة بعض شروط وقد بين الإمام الشافعي في كتابه الرسالة شروط المجتهد. الإمام الشافعي in his book الرسالة clarified what are the criteria of a مجتهد. قال رحمه الله إنه يشترط أن يكون عالما بالأحكام من كتاب الله. He said that the mujtahid has to know all the rules mentioned in Al-Quran. أي وأن يعلم الأحكام الواردة في السنة أيضا. And to know the rules mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وليعلم ذلك لابد أن يعلم مراتب الأحاديث. ليعلم ذلك بالاجتهاد لا بالتقليد لابد أن يعلم مراتب الأحاديث. So, to be able to know that, he has to know the different types, the judgment of the different hadith that contain rules. وليعرف ذلك لابد أن يعرف رجال الأحاديث وأحوالهم رجال الأسانيد وأحوالهم. To be able to know that by ijtihad and not by following others in this issue, he needs to know the situations, the status of the different people in the chain of narrators of these hadiths. ولا بد أن يعلم الناسخ من المنسوخ. الشافعي said he needs to know what is abrogated and what is abrogating among Al-Quran and As-Sunnah. والعام والخاص. He said he needs to differentiate between what is general and what is specific in the verses of Quran and Hadith. وما احتمل التأويل من القرآن ما احتمل أكثر من معنى لا بد أن يعرف كيف يستدل على المعنى الراجح في ذلك من القرآن ومن السنة. And the verses of Quran that can bear more than one meaning pertaining to rulings, he needs to know how to give more weight to one meaning over another by going back to other verses from Al-Quran or to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَبِالْ إِجْمَاعِ and by going back to the consensus. يعني لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَالِمًا عَلَى أَيْشٍ أَجْمَعَتِ الْأُمَّةِ وَفِيمَ اخْتَلَفُوا. Which means he needs to be knowledgeable about the matters on which there is a consensus and the matters on which there are not consensus. He needs to differentiate between these matters and the other matters. قال فإن لم يكن إن لم يكن هناك حديث ولا آية فيهما حكم المسألة فإن لم يكن ولا إجماع فبالقياس على ما في الكتاب. He went to say, now if the rule pertaining this issue is not mentioned in Al-Quran and it is not mentioned in the hadith and it is not mentioned in the consensus, then he needs to make qiyas to what is mentioned in Al-Quran, to the ruling mentioned in Al-Quran. Qiyas means to draw similarity between this case and a case which its ruling is mentioned in Al-Quran. قال فإن لم يكن فبالقياس على ما في السنة. He said, if he does not find a case similar to this case in Al-Quran, then he goes back to the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he needs to know how to draw similarity between this case and what is narrated from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a rule narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. فإن لم يكن فبالقياس على ما قام عليه الإجماع. If there is, if he cannot find neither in Al-Quran nor in As-Sunnah a similar case, the ruling of a similar case, the judgment of a similar case, then he needs to go back to Al-Ijma and know how to draw similarity with such cases. فيتبين من كلام الشافعي هذا أمران. So from what الشافعي said two matters are clear from that. الأمر الأول أنه ليس كل أحد له أن يدعي مرتبة الاجتهاد. The first matter is that not everyone is entitled to make ijtihad. Not everyone is entitled to claim to be a mujtahid. That, لذلك هذا القرضاوي ادعى الاجتهاد بغير حق. So you can see clearly that this man القرضاوي, he claimed to be مجتهد unrightfully. بل قال كلمة بشعة جدا. But he said a statement which is very ugly. ساوى فيها نفسه برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He gave himself in this statement a status equal to the status of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال النبي كان يجتهد في أمور الدين ويخطئ وأنا أجتهد وأخطئ وكذب. كذب في حق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said the Prophet used to make ijtihad among the matters of the religion and committed mistakes. And he is lying in that. He continued to say, and I did that also. It is, I'm like him in that. حتى يبرر ما أخطأ به. To justify the wrong answers that he did. والعياذ بالله تعالى. To do that, he attributed committing mistakes on the level of the religion to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that he is like him. And then he claims to be a mujtahid. And some people follow him. They believe him. What's astonishing is that some people believe him and what he said. After seeing that, they believe him. I don't know how they do that. لكن كما يقول علماؤنا لكل ساقطة لاقطة. لكل ساقطة لاقطة. طيب. والأمر الثاني الذي يتبين من هذه من عبارة الشافعي رضي الله عنه هذه أن الشافعي كان يثبت الإجماع. The second matter which is clear from the statement of الشافعي is that الإمام الشافعي clearly mentioned that الإجماع, the consensus, is a way to establish rules in the religion. ما كان ينكر الإجماع. He did not deny the consensus. وهكذا غيره من الأئمة. And like him, the same position is the position of other imams. ابن المنذر الحافظ المجتهد روى في كتابه الأوسط عن الإمام أحمد أن تحريم بيع الكالئ بالكالئ إجماع. ابن المنذر هو حافظ, a great حافظ and a مجتهد. He reached the level of اجتهاد. First he followed the Shafi'i school, then he became himself a مجتهد. So Ibn al-Munzir, this great scholar, in his book Al-Awsat, narrated from Al-Imam Ahmad that it is prohibited to sell a debt for a debt by consensus. By consensus. فيعرف من هذا أن أحمد أيضا كان يثبت الإجماع كغيره من الأئمة. From this it is known that Ahmad ibn Hanbal also did not deny the issue of consensus like the other imams. وليس كما زعم ابن قيم الجوزية تبعا لشيخه الحراني من أن أحمد كان لا يثبت الإجماع. And it is not like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya said in following the steps of his Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah that Al-Imam Ahmad did not consider that Al-Imam Ahmad said that there is no such matter called Al-Ijma', the consensus. Ibn al-Qayyim kazab wa matbu'uhu kazab. He lied in this issue, and his sheikh, whom he followed in this matter, lied also. وَمَا كَذَبَا إِلَّا لِيُبَرِّرَا خَرْقَهُمَا لِلْإِجْمَعِ. Why did they do that? Because Ibn Taymiyyah, لِأَنَّ ابْنَ تَيْمِيَةَ فِي مَسَائِلْ كَثِيرَ خَرَقَ الْإِجْمَعِ. Because Ibn Taymiyyah, in many cases, he breached the consensus. He deviated from the consensus. So to justify that, he said, Ahmad said, there is nothing such as consensus in the religion. His student, Ibn al-Qayyim, followed him in that, to justify for his sheikh his deviations. قال ولي الدين الحافظ ولي الدين العراقي إنه خرق الإجماع أي ابن تيمية خرق الإجماع في 60 مسألة من مسائل الدين. الحافظ ولي الدين العراقي, a great حافظ called ولي الدين العراقي, he lived يعني let's see, he lived after ابن تيمية. He was close to the era of Ibn Taymiyyah. Said that Ibn Taymiyyah breached the consensus in 60 different cases. Not 6, not 16, 60 different cases. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. قَالَ الْمُؤَلِّفُ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وجزاه خيرا. ونحب أهل العدل والأمانة ونبغض أهل الجور والخيانة. The author said, we love the people of justice and honesty and hate the people of tyranny and treachery. معنى هذا أننا نحب أهل السنة المتمسكين بالعدل من ولاة الأمور, يعني نحب الحكام المتمسكين بالعدل من أهل السنة. He meant by that we love the rulers who adhere to apply justice. The rulers among أهل السنة who adhere to apply justice. ونبغض أهل الجور والخيانة, يعني نبغض أهل الظلم وأهل العصيان والخلاف. And we hate, we do not love the people who do injustice, the people who revolt against the caliph, the people who are people of disobedience. قال ونقول الله أعلم فيما اشتبه علينا علمه. The author said, we say about what is ambiguous to us, Allah knows best. يعني أن الإنسان قد لا يتضح له علم بعض الأشياء، قد يتشكك في بعض الأمور، فيقول عند ذلك يسلم الأمر إلى الله، يقول الله أعلم بالصحيح من ذلك. This means sometimes one does not know the true judgment about a matter. So when he is in that position, he says, Allah knows best about that. I don't know. So he doesn't go farther. And he says, Allah knows about this judgment. And he stops there until he acquires this knowledge from someone who knows it. وكذلك لو لم يعرف الحكمة من أمر من الأمور يقول الله تعالى أعلم بالحكمة منه. Likewise, if one does not know the wisdom behind something, behind a ruling, then one says, Allah knows about that. مع اعتقادي أن كل ما أمر به الله عز وجل وكل ما أمر به رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام حق وصدق. With holding the firm belief that everything that Allah ordered with or the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام ordered with is truthful. It is right, it is correct, it is truthful, without any doubt about that. كما روي عن سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه, as it was narrated from Al-Imam Ali, may Allah raise his rank. يا أيها الناس اتهموا آراءكم وأحسنوا الظن برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يروى عنه. يعني إن لم تفهموا الحكمة فاتهموا آراءكم, سلموا لله وللرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام. ولو لم تفهموا الحكمة لا تردوا ما قاله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمحض آرائكم. الإمام علي used to say, oh you people, or you people accuse your own opinions when they do not agree with what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام came with. Whenever you know about something that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام came with, adhere to it and leave out your opinions if they are against it. قال رحمه الله ونرى المسح على الخفين في السفر والحضر كما قال علي رضي الله عنه لو كان الدين بالرأي لكان مسح الخف من أسفل لكني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح أعلاه. معناه الدين باتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس بمحض الآراء. As Ali himself said, لو كان الدين بالرأي لكان مسح الخف من أسفل. Had been the religion established according to our own opinions, then we would have whipped with what? We would have wet wipe our khuf from the lower part and not from the upper part. He continued to say, but I saw the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام wet wiping the upper part of it. That is, the religion is by following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال رحمه الله ونرى المسح على الخفين في السفر والحضر كما جاء في الأثر. In accordance with what has been related in the Athar, that is from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, we believe in wet wiping the foot gear, الخوف, while traveling and residing. وعلى هذا جمهور المسلمين الصحابة على هذا ومن جاء بعدهم ومن جاء بعدهم ولم يخالف في ذلك إلا من شذ. The companions believed in that, the followers of the companions, the followers of the followers up till nowadays. Only some deviant groups disagreed about this issue. حديث المسح على الخفين حديث المسح على الخفين رواها من لا يحصى من المحدثين في كتبهم. A big number of scholars of hadith narrated these hadith pertaining to wet wiping the foot gear. حتى قال بعض التابعين أنا أحصيت 70 صحابيا روى ذلك عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even one of the followers of the companions said, I counted 70 companions who narrated this issue from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فحديث مسح الخف متواتر. The hadith pertaining to wet wiping the gear is a متواتر hadith. For sure, it is confirmed with no doubt. قال رحمه الله والحج والجهاد ماضيان مع أولي الأمر من المسلمين برهم وفاجرهم إلى قيام الساعة لا يبطلهما شيء ولا ينقضهما. The author said, performing Hajj and Jihad continue to take place under Muslim caliphs, whether pious or committers of major sins, until the time of resurrection. Nothing invalidates or abolishes them. معنى ذلك أن الخليفة إذا استنفر المسلمين للجهاد يجب أن يطيعوه. This means if the caliph calls the Muslims to help him in conducting a fight or fighting or in conducting fighting, they have to obey him. It's an obligation to obey him. أيضا كما قلنا هذا مقيد بكون هذا القتال لا معصية فيه. Of course, as we said previously, there is a condition here that this fighting would not be an unjust fighting. Otherwise, he is not obeyed in that. ولا شيء يبطل هذا الحكم إلى يوم القيامة. Nothing stops this ruling or abrogates this ruling until the day of judgment. لأن نسخ الأحكام كان في زمن الرسول في حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم. كما أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يجعل هذا الحكم موقتا بوقت فيمضي إلى يوم القيامة، فهو ماض إلى يوم القيامة. This ruling is applicable until the day of judgment because first it is not abrogated. Anyway, abrogation only takes place during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And second of all, the Prophet did not establish a time at which the application of this rule ends. That's why it is applicable until the day of judgment. وكذلك يطاع الخليفة فيما يأمر به في الحج، فيما يأمر به الحجاج في الحج، أيضا فيما لا معصية فيه. Likewise, the caliph has to be obeyed in what he orders those who perform pilgrimage to do. They have to obey him in what he orders them to do. Again, not in disobeying Allah تبارك وتعالى. لأنه أدرى بالمصلحة في الحج كما هو أدرى بالمصلحة في غيره. Because he knows better what is the benefit, what benefits the Muslims more when doing al-Hajj, just as he knows better about many other things. ولا يعني هذا كما قلنا أن يطاع في معصية. And we do not mean, of course, that he would be obeyed to do in doing a disobedience. هذا هؤلاء الذين في السعودية هذه الأيام أولا ليسوا خلفاء. Those who rule the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, first they are not caliphs. First of all, they are not caliphs. عملوا بدعة قبيحة والعياذ بالله تعالى. They came up with a bad innovation. جعلوا للسعي مكانا غير المكان الذي عينه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسعى فيه المسلمون 14 قرنا. They made for السعي a new place. They claimed that one can make السعي between الصفا and المروة in a new place other than the place that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام specified, other than the place where the Muslims made a sa'i for 1400 years. They came up with this bad innovation and they innovated a new place to make a sa'i in it. مع أن السعي في هذا المكان الجديد لا يصح. Making a sa'i in this new place is not valid. والذي يسعى هناك لا يكون أدى ركن السعي. And the one who makes a sa'i in this new place would be making an invalid sa'i. So he still has to make a sa'i. So he did not fulfill the integral of sa'i. He still has to do it. يعني إن لم يسعى في المسعى الصحيح في المكان الصحيح فهو بعد محرم. Which means if he does not make a sa'i in the proper place, he is still in the state of ihram. مع ارتكابه للمعصية بالسعي في هذا المكان الجديد. On top of that, he is committing a sin by making a sa'i in this new place. لو قال إنسان بدل أن تطوف بالكعبة لو طفت بمسجد بلدك يمشي يصح لا يصح وكذلك السعي لا يصح إلا بين الصفا والمروة حيث عين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. If someone says instead of going around Al-Kaaba, it is valid to go around the mosque in your city or in your town. Is this valid? No, it is not valid. Likewise, if one makes a sa'i in a place other than the place specified by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, هذه عبادة لا بد أن تفعل كما أمر رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام ليست بالرأي. This is an act of worship. It has to be done just as the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام ordered to be done. It's not subject to change according to our own opinions. مثل المسح على الخف كما قال علي رضي الله عنه عن المسح على الخف. Just as Ali said about wiping the foot gear. على زعمهم يريدون التسهيل على المسلمين. According to what they are saying, they want to make it easier for the Muslims. الله أعلم بعد مدة يمكن يقولون للتسهيل على المسلمين بدل رمي الجمار في المواضع المعينة يرمي كل واحد حيث هو أسهل له. Who knows, maybe after a while they come up by saying instead of throwing the pebbles in that specific place to make it easier for the pilgrims, then you can throw the pebbles in other 10 different places to make it easier. Who knows, they might come up with that. ثم يقولون عما يفعله المسلمون مما هو موافق للشريعة بدعة مرفوضة وهم البدعة. And then they say about what the Muslims in all the world do in compliance with the rules of the religion, it is بدعة. Yeah, they are بدعة. They're doing this. Their ideology, the way is the bid'ah itself. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. الله يرحمنا. مرة واحد من الملوك أراد أن يترك له ذكرا بين الناس, هذا همه الفخر, فوسع المسجد الحرام, فصار يقال توسعة فلان إلى أيامنا يقال توسعة فلان. Once upon a time there was a king. This king wanted his name to be remembered because this is what he cares about. He wanted to show off. So he widened al-Masjid al-Haram. he added, expanded the Haram mosque. بعده جاء أخوه إلى الملك. After him, his brother became a king. أيضا أراد أن يبقي لنفسه ذكرا بين الناس. Likewise, he wanted the people to still remember him. فوسع المسجد النبوي بأخذ أملاك الناس بغير حق من غير ضرورة. So he expanded the mosque of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام by taking the properties of the people unrightfully with no necessity for that. فصار يقال توسعة فلان. Now the expansion is called, is known by the expansion of so and so. So his name is still mentioned, although he was buried and he is facing the results of what he did. And this is what he should care about. ثم تولى الحكم ثالث أخوه بعده. Then his brother became a ruler after him. أراد أن يعمل شيئا يبقى ذكره فيه بين الناس. He also wanted to do something with which he would be remembered among the people. فعمل هذا المسعى الجديد. So some people tricked him and he built this new مسعى, place for his سعي. And I'm sure that the believers, the pious believers, will always remember these three rulers, but not in a good way. Ada, and on top of that, they are going to face the results of what they did in the hereafter. Allah yarham. And they are not, they don't have the habit to retract if it becomes known for them that they did something wrong. They do not have the habit to retract. Subhanallah. Without mentioning names. It was done with his own orders. Of course, someone presented him. Someone tricked him. There is a person, well-known person, who tricked him. He shouldn't be tricked. This is something pertaining to the religion. This is not his job. He's an ignorant about him. Okay. I didn't want to talk this way. That's okay. He doesn't know about these issues. So let people who know do that. He is going to face the results of his death. Maybe 3/4 of the people who performed al-Hajj this year, or maybe more, their Hajj was invalid because of that. And then they claim that they are against the innovations. But isn't this astonishing? But, yani, this is astonishing. How do they justify it? For us, we know they are against good innovations. They are not against the bad innovations.
So that's why it is يعني one can understand why they are doing what they are doing. But for them and the people who the Wahhabis, how do they justify it? Those who call themselves Salafis. This is astonishing. طيب قال رحمه الله نعم حاج طيب نكمل هذه. قال المؤلف رحمه الله ونؤمن بالكرام الكاتبين فإن الله قد جعلهم علينا حافظين ونؤمن بملك الموت الموكل بقبض أرواح العالمين وبعذاب القبر لمن كان له أهلا وسؤال منكر ونكير في قبره عن ربه ودينه ونبيه على ما جاءت به الأخبار عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعن الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم والقبر روضة من رياض الجنة أو حفرة من حفر النيران. We believe in the honorable recording angels, for Allah has certainly appointed them to observe our deeds. We believe in the angel of death, who is appointed to take the souls out of the living beings. We believe in the punishment in the grave for the one who deserves it. And in Munkar and Nakir's questioning of the buried person in his grave about his Lord, religion, and prophet. All this is in accordance with the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and of the companions of the Prophet, may Allah raise their ranks. We believe that the grave is either a garden of paradise or a pit of hell. Allah Ta'ala وَكَّلَ مَلَائِكَةً يَكْتُبُونَ أَعْمَالَ الْعِبَادِ. Allah Ta'ala ordered angels to write the deeds of the people. كما قال ربنا عز وجل وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. As Allah Ta'ala said in the 10th, 11th, 12th verses of Surah Al-Infitar. فَنُؤْمِنُ بِذَلِكَ. So we believe in that. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ مُوَكَّلٌ بِقَبْضِ أرواح العالمين أي الإنس والجن. We believe that the angel of death is appointed to take out the souls of the human beings and jinn. وكذلك الملائكة. Likewise the angels, that is on the day of judgment. وكذلك كل ذي روح. Likewise, every living being, this angel takes out its soul. The animals, the little insects, all of that. كما قال ربنا عز وجل قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم. As Allah Ta'ala said in the 11th verse of Surah As-Sajdah, قل يتوفاكم ملك الموت الذي وكل بكم, which means, O Muhammad, says that the angel of death takes out your souls as he was ordered. وملك الموت هو عزرائيل عليه السلام. The angel of death is عزرائيل عليه السلام. في بعض الآيات ذكر أن الذي يقبض الأرواح واحد, وفي بعض الآيات ذكر أن الذي يقبض الأرواح جماعة, وهذا ليس تناقضا. In some verses it is mentioned that the one who takes the souls out of the bodies is one angel. In some verses there is the reference to several angels. This is not a contradiction. لأن ملك الموت له أعوان. The angel of death, Azrael, has assistants. يعاونونه في قبض الأرواح. They assist him in taking out the souls. هو يباشر القبض ثم هم يأخذون الروح منه. Azrael himself takes the soul out of the body of all the living beings, and they, his assistants, take it then from him. وكذلك نؤمن بعذاب القبر, أي أنه واقع لقسم من الناس. Likewise, we believe that the torture of the grave occurs to a part of the people. الكفار يعذبون في قبورهم. The blasphemers are tortured in their graves. أهل الكبائر قسم من المسلمين, قسم منهم يعذب في قبورهم. The enormous sinners among the Muslims, a part of them is tortured, are tortured in their graves. وقد ثبت ذكر عذاب القبر في القرآن وفي الحديث. The torture of the grave is mentioned in Al-Quran and in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهو معلوم بين المسلمين بالضرورة, يعرفه الصغير والكبير. It is known by necessity among the Muslims, known by known by the lay Muslim and the scholars. Likewise, it's known by the little ones and the adult ones. الله قال النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. الله تعالى said in the 46th verse of Surah Ghafir, النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا, which means they are presented with the fire at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. And this occurs before the day of judgment. This occurs in the grave. وقال الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام استنزهوا من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه. Likewise, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, استنزهوا من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر منه, which means do not contaminate yourselves with urine. Most of the torture of the grave is because of that. هذا الحديث رواه الدارقطني. This hadith is narrated by الدارقطني. وكذلك يجب الإيمان بنعيم القبر لقسم من الناس. Likewise, it is an obligation to believe in the endowment of the grave for a part of the people. ولا يجب على كل واحد معرفة تفاصيل ذلك، بل يكفي الإيمان بذلك في الجملة. It is not a personal obligation to know the details of the torture and the details of the endowment. It is enough for one to believe that this occurs. The torture in the grave occurs for a part of the people, and the endowment in the grave occurs for a part of the people. This is the personal obligation to believe. This is what is.
ويجب أن نؤمن بسؤال منكر ونكير للعبد في قبره عن ربه ودينه ونبيه.
It is an obligation to believe also that the slave is asked in the grave by the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, about his Lord. That is, they ask him, "Who is your Lord? Are you a believer in Allah or not?" This is what it means. The believer answers, "Allah is my Lord." So they ask the slave about his Lord, about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did you believe in Prophet Muhammad or you did not? And about one's religion. What religion did you follow? Al-mu'minun Allah yuthabbituhum lil-jawab. The believers answer these questions properly. Amma al-kafir فَيَخَافُ خَوْفًا شَدِيدًا. As for the blasphemer, he gets very scared. وَلَا يُجِيبُ بِالْجَوَابِ الصَّحِيحِ. He does not answer properly. فَنَحْنُ نُؤْمِنْ بِأَنَّ الْإِحْسَاسِ وَالْرُوحِ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى الشَّخْصِ بَعْدَ دَفْنِهِ فَيُسْأَلْ مِنَ الْمَلَكَيْنِ ثم هو إما في عذاب وإما في نعيم. So we believe that the person, after being buried, his soul goes back to his body. He is again aware with the soul and the body of what occurs around him. He is questioned by Munkar and Nakir, and then he is either tortured or enjoying in the grave. وَيُسْتَثْنَى بَعْضُ النَّاسِ مِنَ السُّؤَالِ. Some people, they are not asked by Munkar and Nakir. They are not questioned by Munkar and Nakir. الطفل الصغير الذي مات قبل البلوغ لا يسأل. The little child that dies before puberty is not questioned by that. والشهداء لا يسألون. And the martyrs are not questioned by them. Are you tired? No? Okay, then let's continue a little bit more. A little bit. قال رحمه الله ونؤمن بالبعث وجزاء الأعمال يوم القيامة والعرض والحساب وقراءة الكتاب والثواب والعقاب والصراط والميزان. The author continued to say, we believe in the resurrection, payment for the deeds on the day of judgment, presentation of the deeds, questioning, reading the book, reward, punishment, sirat, which is the bridge over hell, and balance. كل واحد من هذه الأمور التي ذكرها الإمام الطحاوي ورد النص بشأنه، فيجب علينا الإيمان بها. Each and every one among these matters mentioned by Al-Tahawi is mentioned in the religious texts. So we have to believe in each one of them, in each and every one of them. نُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ الْأَمْوَاتِ يَقُومُونَ لِلْحِسَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ We believe that the people would be resurrected from their graves to be judged on the day of judgment. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَنَّ جَزَاءَ الْأَعْمَالِ أي أَغْلَبْ جَزَاءِ الْأَعْمَالِ يَكُونُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And we believe that most of the payment for the deeds occurs on the Day of Judgment. Most. أَحْيَانًا يُجَازَ الْعَبْدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا لَكِنْ أَغْلَبُ الْجَزَاءِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ Sometimes one pays for his deeds in this life. But most of the payment for the deeds is in the hereafter. Allah. ولما كان الإيمان مطلوبا مأمورا به على التأبيد والكفر منهيا عنه على التأبيد كان الجزاء في الآخرة على الإيمان على التأبيد وعلى الكفر على التأبيد because one is ordered always ordered the accountable person is ordered all the time to be a believer. That is, to believe, to have the firm belief in his heart about Allah and the Prophet, and to have the firm conviction in his heart that he is going to be a believer forever, without any intention of breaching this belief at any time, because also one has to have in his heart that he is not a blasphemer and he is not going to be a blasphemer at any time in the future. This is why the reward of believing remains forever. And the punishment for blasphemy remains forever. The punishment of blasphemy is to be in hellfire. One has to avoid blasphemy always. He has to carry in his heart the firm belief that not at any moment in the future, for the whole future, he is not going to blaspheme. This is why if one blasphemes, his torture remains forever in hellfire. And if one dies as a believer, his reward remains in paradise forever. This is why the believers stay in paradise forever and the blasphemers stay in hellfire forever. The torture of blasphemy is... Do you say it is proportional to the sin committed by the person? Okay. And the reward for believing is proportional to this obligation. done by the person. كذلك يجب الإيمان بأن بالعرض يوم القيامة كل الناس يجمعون. It is an obligation that the people are going to be gathered, all of them, للحساب, to be questioned and judged on the day of judgment. ونؤمن كذلك بأن كل إنسان يعرض عليه كتابه, and every person is going to be presented with his book. يقال له اقرأ كتابك. Everyone is asked to read what is written, the record. Everyone is ordered to read the record of his deed. كذلك نؤمن بالثواب وبالعقاب. Likewise, we believe in endowment in the hereafter for part of the people and torture for another part of the people. ونؤمن بالصراط, and we believe in الصراط, وهو جسر فوق جهنم, and it is a bridge that is above hellfire. وذلك يدل على ذلك كتاب الله وحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, as it is mentioned in Al-Quran and the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. من ذلك قول الله تعالى وإن منكم إلا واردها. Among these religious texts is the 71st verse of Surah Maryam. وإن منكم إلا واردها. Which talks about the believers crossing over hellfire. Which talks about the crossing on al-sirat. وهذا الورود قسمان, ورود دخول لبعض الناس وورود عبور لغيرهم. And this is divided in two types. Some people, they fall from al-sirat into hellfire. And some people, they cross al-sirat to the other edge. ولما جاء في حديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام من أنه يضرب الصراط على متن جهنم. And also, as it is narrated in the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that الصراط would be above hellfire. ويجب الإيمان بالميزان. We have to believe in the balance. نؤمن بأن أعمال الناس توزن يوم القيامة. We believe that the deeds of everyone is going to be weighed on the day of judgment. لما ورد في ذلك من الآيات والأحاديث. Because this was mentioned in Al-Quran and the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. الله تعالى قال ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة. Allah said in the 48th verse of Surah Al-Anbiya ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة, which means the deeds are going to be weighed in a just way on the day of judgment. وليس شرطا أن نعرف كيف يكون هذا الوزن. It is not a condition for us to know how they are going to be weighed. يكفي أن نؤمن بذلك. It is enough for us to believe that this is going to take place. لذلك بعض العلماء ما تعرض للكلام في هذا. This is why some scholars did not talk about how this is going to take place, how the deeds are going to be weighed. وبعضهم تعرض لهذا. Some others, they talked about it. منهم من قال الأعمال توزن ومنهم من قال صحف الأعمال توزن. Some of them said the deeds themselves are weighed, and some of them said that the tablets on which the deeds are written are weighed. يكفي أن نؤمن بحصول الوزن. For us, it is enough to believe that weighing the deeds is going to occur. ولا يشترط أن نعرف التفصيل. It is not a condition to know the details. How is it going to take place? ومن قال بأن الأعمال توزن معناه الأعمال يحولها الله أجساما فتوزن. Those who said the deeds are going to be weighed, they meant that Allah transforms the deeds into bodies which are going to be weighed. لأن العمل نفسه صفة عرض لا يوضع في الميزان. Because the deed itself is an attribute, and the attribute itself wouldn't be put in the pan. Does not accept to be put in the pan. Rather, Allah transforms these deeds, these attributes, into bodies, and these bodies would be weighed. We do not have to go into that. It is enough for us to believe that this takes place. ونقف هنا. Let us stop. والله تعالى أعلم. الله knows best. إن شاء الله تعالى we will continue. يعني what remains is it's like one fourth of the book, not more. So we didn't have enough time to finish, and unfortunately some of your brothers didn't even stay up till here. I don't know why. Today is Saturday. They still have the rest of this day and the day of tomorrow to go home, but they have their excuses, I'm sure. Just crossed my mind that they missed this. Anyway, inshallah, in the summer we will continue this book. Inshallah, in a couple of days, inshallah ta'ala, in the camp. So don't miss it. Allah yubarikou fikum. This is a book that is taught since it was authored up till nowadays. It was received by acceptance among the Muslims, and it was taught since 1100 years. This book is being taught, explained, taught, spread among the Muslims. And as you can see, may Allah reward al-Tahawi greatly. He put a lot of beneficial information in it with brief, very brief expressions. So Allah yubarik fikum. Try not to miss continuing the explanation of this book.
الله ييسر لنا ذلك ويجعل نياتنا في ذلك حسنة. May Allah reward us in explaining, studying, and studying this text. And may Allah grant us the sincere intentions in doing that. If you have... If you have questions, please go ahead. Yes, Osman. No one. As it is mentioned in Al-Quran, explicitly, this is mentioned in Al-Quran. No one intercedes for them, not for any one of them. After they enter hellfire, there is no intercession for any one of them. من فروع هذا من الفروع ما هيك ليش ذكرها ليش انت عم تسألني ذكر بعض المسائل في الفروع لأن بعض الفرق من غير أهل السنة شهروا خلافهم لأهل السنة فيها فأراد أن يبين ما هو قول أهل السنة فيها. Someone might, as Brother Muhammad, Allah يبارك فيه, said, someone might question, why did الطحاوي talk about what wiping the foot gear? This is among the matters of the يعني the deeds, they are not the practices. It is not a matter of among the matters of belief. Why did al-Tahawi mention it in his creed? Few matters pertaining to this issue are mentioned by al-Tahawi because there are people other than Ahl Sunnah, other groups who made some noises about their saying that does not comply with the saying of Al-Sunnah. This is why Al-Tahawi wanted to mention explicitly what Al-Sunnah say about this matter. Like when he talked about revolting against the Caliph. This is prohibited. This is something pertaining to the practice. But he mentioned that because Al-Khawarij said a different statement. And they practiced accordingly in a wrong way. This is why he mentioned that. And likewise, Fadl Hajj.
لا شك ابن عابدين يقول عنهم خوارج هذا العصر. When the Wahhabis revolted against the Ottomans, they were revolting against the proper ruler. And that's why ibn عابدين, the very famous Hanafi scholar, when he talked about them, he called them the خوارج of this era. So, yes. لا على كمان كل من خرج على كيف لك go ahead yes go ahead three questions go ahead I missed few words in what you said. Is it? Yeah. The Prophet appointed a person as a leader for a group of people. He sent them in a mission, and he appointed him as a leader. At one point of time, he got angry with them. They were not cooperating with him as they should. So he got angry. He put up fire and he told them, get into it. That is, I'm your leader. Do that. So they told him, well, we followed Prophet Muhammad to escape fire. What are you saying? Yeah, then when they went back and the Prophet knew about the incident, he mentioned that if they obeyed him, they would be tortured. They would deserve the torture of Allah. Yeah, correct. Okay, what you are doing, that your voice is going up and down. And yeah, usually, mashallah, you speak with a loud voice. And now you are going with a very low voice. Some words, I missed some words. Why? The Prophet does not know the unforeseen. The Prophet was sent to clarify for us the way how to act. And for us always, any ruler, any leader, he is subject to commit certain mistakes and not to know the changes that might occur to the person. Who knows about that other than Allah? We are creatures. So, no, you cannot, no one can blame the Prophet about that. What's the third? The second? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, no problem. I did not hear that. The believers, they answer correctly, and some of the believers are tortured in the grave. Go ahead. Yeah? Azrael can take the souls of two people in two different places at the same time. Some scholars said Azrael has several different bodies directed by one soul. And some said other things. So it is possible, yes. It is mentally possible. You are most welcome. Tafadhal Abu Salah. هذه طويلة يا أبو صالح. هذه طويلة يا أبو صالح. نرجع نحكي فيها إن شاء الله. تفضل حاج أبو زاهر. إذا المارق على حسب المقام. قد يكون المقام يعطي أن معناه الخروج من الدين، وقد يكون المقام يعطي معناه الخروج عن الخليفة، عن طاعة الخليفة، وقد يكون غير ذلك على حسب المقام. شاء الله كان، ما شاء الله كان. Whatever Allah will to be shall be. We don't know everything that happens in the hereafter. Let's be occupied with what we are obligated to do. Let's be occupied how to prepare ourselves to that day. Then to occupy ourselves asking about things which we don't have the way to know them. Tawbah. لو تعيد إيه أنا بعرف أنه بعض الناس حكيم بهالمسألة كلام منه مضبوط أو زيتينه من غير ما يفهموه مضبوط لبعض الناس، بس أنه أنا بظن أنه ما بنحكي شغلة اطلقت علي بيتبين لي بعدين أنه بحكي الشغلة أنتوا بتبقوا عم تفكروا بالكلام اللي سامعوا من قبل أو بتترك شيء لبعدين أو ما بتستوضحها دغري في وقتها. أول شيء بدي أسألك، هذا الحديث المروي عن النبي في هذا الأمر هل هو حديث مشهور مقطوع به ولا هو حديث أحد؟ تعرف شيء يا جلال؟ ولا أنا. طيب إذا هاي بعد ما منعرفها أكثر من هيك وين بدنا نروح بالمسألة؟ عرفت شو عم بحكي؟ ولا ما انتبه وما عرفت وين مؤدى الكلام؟ لا بأس لا بأس بس لا بأس. بارك الله فيك، لأنه هذا السؤال يعني صار مطروح شي 20 مرة يمكن، فشان هيك شوية. طيب الحديث إن لم يكن مقطوعا به من الأحاديث المقطوع بها كيف نجزم، كيف نقول إن هذا جزما يكون؟ إذا كان حديث أحد معنى حديث الأحد يعني غير مقطوع به، معناه نعمل به، إذا كان يعمل به معناه يعمل به من غير أن يقطع، يجزم بأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قاله. أهون شيء في هذه المسألة يعني هلأ حتى تكون واضحة، أن يقول الشخص من كان يعتقد في قلبه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جازما، يعني الذي يعتقد في قلبه أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال إن الذي يراه في الرؤيا لا بد أن يدخل الجنة، لا يجوز له بعد ذلك أن يشك في هذا الأمر، لأنه يعتقد ذلك، يعتقد أن النبي قاله، فيكون شكه في هذا شكا في كلام النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا أهون شيء. إذا عندك بعد شيء بعد هذا قل جلال، وإلا أصلا اختلف العلماء هل المقصود رؤيته على صورته وغير صورته أيضا، أو رؤيته على صورته التي كان عليها وغير ذلك. تفضل حاج. يعني إذا فعل ما هو منهي عن أن يفعله يترتب عليه الأحكام. نعم بيرجع بروح بيسعى. استعي هل له وقت معين ينتهي فيه؟ بروح بيسعى متى ما أراد، بروح بيسعى. If someone makes a sa'i in the wrong place, he needs to go back and makes it in the proper place. Otherwise, he is still in the state of ihram. If he does not do that, he is still in the state of al-ihram. طيب بارك الله. نعم عثمان. Yeah, I wrote it here. I didn't forget. Oh, let me see this question first. Now, if one wants to go and make a sa'i and he cannot find a way to do it in the proper way, if one goes to al-Hajj, and he cannot find a way to do it in the proper way, they do not allow him. Let's say someone, someone prevents him. Someone having authority there prevents him from doing that. He tries, they prevent him. What does he do then? There are two ways to go with that. If he cannot make a sa'i and the people, yani they are going to, he needs to go back. He cannot stay anymore. He cannot stay more time to try. The people, his caravan, his of the like, the people with whom he is going, he needs to go back. What does he do? According to the Shafi'i school, he does something, but he goes out from the state of ihram by that. He makes certain actions that he makes certain actions, he goes out from the state of ihram by that, and he repeats al-hajj in another year. So he is not considered that he made al-hajj. According to the school of al-imam Abu Hanifa, making a sa'i is an obligation, but it is not an integral. So al-hajj is valid without it. Leaving it out intentionally is a sin. Doing it in the wrong place is a sin. But it is not an integral. The hajj is valid without doing it, but one needs to slaughter a sheep and distribute it on the poor people who are in Mecca. So he can go, one can go according to either schools. He can go according to the Shafi'i school and later repeat, try again to do al-Hajj in another year. Or he can go according to the school of Abu Hanifa and his hajj would be valid in this case. خليني راجع وبدلك جواب حاج. نعم بس شو وأنا فقيه حنفية بس دام. ما بقلي يا لا ما معنى هيدي. تفضل تفضل. إذا قلد الإمام أبا حنيفة ما بده يطلع هو بمذهب جديد، يعني بده يرتب الأمور بحيث لا يكون هو جاء بمذهب جديد. Yes, you can ask me a quick question. Go ahead. Why do they say that? It does not say that in the verse. Anyway, how would one use that to travel? Isn't it by knowing the direction? For the question of Uthman, subhanAllah, I some brothers, Allah yubariku fihim, I met some brothers, actually two brothers, in among like we were like I don't know, maybe 100 people or so. And among these 100 people, two people attracted my attention. I lived in a small village, so I never heard about Sheikh Abdullah. Come on, Uthman, is it an interrogation? I want to say this and just finish it. So we were more than 100 people, I think. And two people, I don't know how old I was, 16 years. I was 16 years old. And two people among this, it was in summer, I believe, summertime. Why not? It was in the summertime. And two people among these people drew my attention. They were, mashallah, polite. They pray, they act in a nice way, they talk in a good way. So they drew my attention, so I stuck kind of to them. One of them was Akhuna Abu Salah, sitting there, Allah yajzihi khayr.
Next to you.
Yeah, and another brother. So Allah yubarik fihim, they also took care of me. And they taught me a few things. And I heard from them about Sheikh Abdullah. So I had in my heart I wanted to meet him. After a period of time, we separated. And the same year, because of the war, we couldn't stay in our village. So we moved to Beirut. We left our village and we went to Beirut. One day I was passing next to a mosque. I saw an announcement saying that Sheikh Abdullah Al-Harari gives a class in this mosque every Wednesday after Al-Maghrib. So I said, okay, I'm going to attend this class and meet this man. I went there and there he was. He came. After the prayer, he started the class. It was a very nice class. I still remember it. Up till now, about the creed, He was talking about issues in the creed, and he warned against some people, a person, a deviated person. People asked him questions, and I did not ask, so I did like you do sometimes with me, and other people did with Sheikh Abdullah. So once he left the session, he wanted to go out of the mosque. I came to him and I asked him a question about hunting. At the time I was attached to that, hunting birds. So he didn't say anything, mashallah. He stood, he was tired. Now I realize, at the time I didn't realize. So he stood next to a pillar in the masjid. He put his back, he leaned toward that pillar, and he answered me in a very nice way, good way, mashallah. So after that, I came every Wednesday to that masjid. But soon after that, Sheikh Abdullah traveled. He left the country, and I did not know at the time that he traveled. I only knew him in the masjid. Someone else gave the classes, and I was not I wasn't relaxed with this person. So I lost contact with Sheikh Abdullah and his students until after, this was in the year, then until like less than 2 years after that, I went to the university, the Faculty of Science in the Lebanese University. And there again I met Brother Muhammad, Allah yubarak fihi, and the other brothers there. I was so happy to meet them. And they were so kind, Allah yajzihima khayran, to take care of me. They taught me, and they took me to Sheikh Abdullah. They introduced me to him. They took me to his house. They invited me to their houses, to their homes. They took good care of me, Allah yubarak fihim. They taught me, even in the university, Brother Muhammad used to bring his notebooks and tell me to copy certain things. They took good care of me, Allah yubarik fihima. And it introduced me to Sheikh Abdullah. They took me to his house. I noticed that after a period of time, I noticed that you can come whenever you want to Sheikh's house. So later after that, I started to go. It's an open house. So I started to go there at different times, with them and without them. And this is how the first time I got there, I had a question in my mind, subhanallah. I don't know why I didn't ask the brothers about it, but this question, for like more than a year, I was asking some people who claim to be knowledgeable, or that I thought they might know the answer, about the answer of this question. It was related to one of the matters of the creed, and no one gave me an answer. I couldn't get an answer for that. So the first time I went to Sheikh Abdullah's house, before he went out from his room, Sheikh Nizar was giving a class there. And subhanallah, this class was about this issue. So he made it very clear. I understood it very clearly. So I could see clearly that this person, alhamdulillah, Allah willed for me to learn. And alhamdulillah, it worked. May Allah reward everyone who taught me greatly. This is it, Father Osman. Naam, Abu Salah. Hey, Sahih. هو لطيف أبو صالح هو لطيف رحمة الله عليه ما شاء الله. And they used to give me tapes of مديح ما شاء الله recitation of Al-Quran. I still have these tapes, ما شاء الله. Very nice. Very nice recitation. La ilaha illallah. Barakallahu fikum. Let's say la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الله يبارك فيكم. I'm sure we want to pray now, and after praying you'll take maybe some rest. And those who want to take Tariqah Rifa'iyah, so let's meet before the Asr prayer here. Let's say at 2 o'clock. We'll meet at 2 o'clock, inshaAllah. Here, Barakallahu Fikum.